Hello and welcome to another episode of At Any Rate. I'm your host, Natasha Kanova, and I head JP Morgan Global Commodities Research. Today, we would like to discuss gold, and I'm joined by Greg Shear, who heads our precious and industrial metals research. Greg, welcome.
Thanks, Natasha.
Greg, we put a buy recommendation on gold in November 2022, and we held it for two consecutive years. For 2024, gold is our top buy recommendation among all the commodities under our coverage. So the first week of March has seen gold follow the S&P 500, NASDAQ, and Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies and break out to new all-time highs, topping $2,180 today, Friday morning. I think the scale and speed of this ascent has caught many market observers off guard, so there is no clear catalyst for the rally. Moreover, what is the most surprising, at least to me personally, is that as the gold price has rallied over the recent weeks to break out to new highs, the market capitalization of the GOD, the U.S. Biggest gold ETF, actually shrunk. Yes, and ETF investors have been selling gold surprisingly despite the price rising. So first question to you, what has driven the push higher and who has been behind the buying?
Sure. I mean, it's definitely caught us off guard as well in terms of just the sheer intensity in terms of the push higher. You know, one thing that we've been saying as well is we're much more confident with our direction of travel higher in gold prices and sort of our ultimate targets, you know, something around $2,300 per ounce over this upcoming cutting cycle than we are on timing exactly when that inflection comes. And to some degree, that's because we think the next leg higher is started by your quick money inflows and then followed up with fundamental or ETF inflows. And so what we think we saw over the past week or March month to date is primarily that first tranche. So that CTA momentum-based quick money inflows. And we do definitely think there's been a pretty sharp net lengthening. When we think about what's maybe driving that, there's a couple of things in the background, right? So a stronger safe haven bid. We've seen the edge come off of US data a little bit. More technical drivers. I think we can't underplay that, right? We pretty definitively broke 2080 to start the month. And I think that has definitely unlocked, you know, people that are watching moving averages or also sort of your key levels, as well as your momentum indicators, which all of a sudden turned very, very sharply into buy territory. And then I think also one thing we can't discount is potentially the FOMO trickle down as Bitcoin is pushed above all time high. So we're seeing, you know, liquidity and kind of in a search for investment, and it looks like gold has sort of caught the bid on top of that as well. So I'd say those were our initial drivers that definitely kind of kicked us pretty abruptly higher up, you know, above 2160.
Mm-hmm. And who has been the buying force behind that? Like in terms of the physical demand, do you see anything there?
No, so that's the interesting thing. So the way we think about it is physical holds the floor for us. And I think this was on display over the course of January and February once again, right? We're still seeing very strong central bank buying. China came in for the 16th straight month in January. The other surprising thing in January and February was actually the strength of Chinese retail demand. Onshore premiums in China were very strong. We saw demand growth over the Lunar New Year holiday up over 20% on a year-over-year basis. So with the property market in distress, as well as the Chinese equity market in distress, we do think there's been a kind of a bit more of a structural retail flow on the physical side into gold. Now, that helped us when gold was out of fashion, when we were sort of seeing, you know, investors push back a rate cutting cycle over January and February, and open interest was falling. So the financial participants were sort of closing. And that physical demand helped us keep quite sustained. This week looks very different. So those Chinese premiums have really ebbed. So it doesn't look like China's coming in and buying this. We don't think it's necessarily central banks. Now, they don't look massively price sensitive, but they're ones that are slower moving purchasers. It almost purely looks like a financial quick money inflow. And if we look at the change in aggregate open interest, since essentially last week, as well as what the price change would imply for a change in net speculative positioning, it does look like we maybe have added since the last CFTC data print at the end of February, something almost around 95,000 lots of managed money net length, which does take us basically just above or around the last year highs in net length. So that's almost, we went from something closer to around a 60 to 70 range to now above 100,000 contracts net mm-hmm. long.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Greg. So Greg, gold almost at 2,200 today. Yes, our target is 2,300. So a couple questions. First of all, is gold getting ahead of itself in your opinion? You know, clearly it's directionally aligned with our longstanding bullish targets, but do you think that, you know, at almost 2,200, it has a staying power up here? What do we need to watch next?
Yeah, sure. So it definitely has been getting ahead of itself. If we look at what we, you know, day in, day out look to kind of predict where we think gold should be trading, that's the US dollar and US 10-year real yields. Now, those have been moving more supportive gold March month to date. They imply something around a 2 percentage point increase. Thing is, gold is almost at a 7% increase. So when we look at the valuations, we do think you're roughly around $100 per ounce rich at the moment. So roughly around just below 5 percentage points in terms of differential over the last month of returns. That means we are ahead of ourselves. When we typically see this sort of premium peak is something around 6 to 7% differential. So relative to that 5, we're getting to a place where we look relatively stretched. Also, the momentum indicators that we're really kind of fully signaling buy so far this week are now into stretched territory, which where we typically think that those signals begin to send profit-taking signals. So that momentum surge that essentially inflows of CTA investors that pushed us up here is looking to be exhausted. The question now becomes what happens to fundamentals? So we got a payroll report this morning that was relatively mixed. I mean, I think it has something for everybody, right? There, it was a beat for February jobs, but then unemployment rate was higher than expected, wage growth was lower than expected, and gold has sort of stayed here, so it didn't significantly challenge it. Next up is CPI, which is next Tuesday, because what we really think to continue to have staying power here and to not bleed out this premium, we need to see a movement in terms of solidifying Fed cut expectations. The market has moved now to kind of fully price in a rate cutting cycle starting in June with about 100 basis points. JPM still at 125 basis points of cuts over 2024. So we need to unlock that ETF flow, that discretionary macro mm-hmm. investor flow to continue to sustain us up here. And I think a lot depends on what we get from CPI in the coming week if we don't, to determine if we're going to bleed out that premium. But even if we do, we think you could fall down to something maybe around 2060, 2080 range. And then we wait again for that cutting cycle for us to really hit that ultimate peak at 2300.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Clearly very sharp move, record levels in gold. What about the other precious metals? Do you see any value among silver, platinum, palladium in terms of a catch up?
Yeah, I mean, I think the two ones that are interesting are silver and platinum. So silver has followed gold, but it's almost tracked gold like for like. So the gold to silver ratio has largely stayed stable at around 89-90. That's not typically how silver performs. It's quite a volatile metal. We think of it as almost having a 2-to-1 beta to gold. So if gold, if we get a good CPI from a gold perspective that moderates and kind of solidifies the Fed, silver's upside catch-up, I think, could be quite strong. Now, it's dependent on gold staying here, but I think silver, from our perspective, has a potent setup. It's a deficit market. So physically, we do think, you have a backstop. as well as being relatively cheap looking to gold at the moment. So for, you know, our ultimate upside targets for silver from a price point of around $24 per ounce right now is something close to 33. So we mm-hmm. do like silver, and particularly like it under a soft landing Fed cutting cycle. So that would be one to watch in a pure play precious space. Palladium had a 10% jump on Wednesday, which caught everybody's attention. We think that's mainly short covering. We like platinum from a fundamental standpoint. From our perspective, we think we're at a place where margin pressures among producers are really getting very intense. We already have a deficit market even before that. And, you know, if we think about it, platinum at the moment is trading, you know, less than 43% of the price of gold. And that has really ebbed quite significantly over the last 6 to 9 months. So it looks cheap, both from a precious standpoint relative to gold, as well as from a fundamental standpoint. And we do think you're getting to a place where supply is beginning to break, and so platinum could have a catch up to $1,200 or $1,200 per ounce, quite sharp here.
Thank you, Greg. So we're still very bullish gold, yes, so $2,300 target, but silver and platinum are the ones that can actually provide the bigger return in terms of, you know, upside potential. So thank you, Greg, for joining me today. Thank you all to listening to the Commodities Edition at JP Morgan's At Any Rate podcast. We look forward to continuing the conversation next week. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. 2024, JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on March 8, 2024.